What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. Me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Happy post-Halloween, Fabs.
Yeah, man, you too, dude. That was fun. So, took the boy out last night. We were in Westchester, about 2 hours. I mean, this kid got a bag of candy. I mean, like, you know, those plastic bags you get from the filled it up.
Wow.
It was tremendous. So then we get home, we put him to bed, and my girlfriend and I go through. It's like, you know, we sent the kid out to do the dirty work, and then, you know, we reap the rewards.
Basically just vulturing the candy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was fun. He dressed up as Rocky Balboa. It was great.
So basically the kid is Kerryon Johnson, and you just LeGarrette Blunted all his candy away from him.
Exactly. At least last night we did.
A lot to talk about. Before we do that, first, on the other side of the glass is always Sir Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. What's up, Murph?
Hey, guys. Enjoyed Halloween as well, too.
Yeah.
What type of candy?
Wait a minute. I enjoyed your costume last night, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mother,
I didn't see it in person. We
Mother of Dragons on Instagram.
I didn't realize the Khaleesi was our guy here.
Yeah, so
the Khaleesi was our guy. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let me tell you, you're more a man than I am. I would never do that. You are more the man than I am.
It's not the first time I've cross-dressed for a Halloween costume. 2 years ago, I did 11 from Stranger Things. So
okay.
Oh, okay.
I feel like when those costumes are very, very popular, both
right?
11 and any Game of Thrones character. So if you put a little spin on it, make it fun, then you kind of get away with doing a costume that like everyone else is wearing.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, I was asked to judge a costume contest here at the network yesterday. And there was a man dressed as Sailor Moon, which I was a fan of the show.
Sure.
And he did not win, but he was very much in consideration because, you know, it takes a little bit of guts to come out like that.
I don't know who that is.
It's an anime character popular in the 90s, early 2000s.
Okay, I have to look it up.
Yeah, Sailor Moon. But, you know, props to him because it takes guts to do
that. And props to Eddie. I love it.
And I will say this.
It looked great.
Very comfortable. Wearing a dress.
I'm sure,
right?
I'm sure it breathes.
Whoa, way better than jeans.
Are we going to start seeing you around the office here now?
Unfortunately not.
Wearing
not
some
sure.
of that stuff?
I don't think the bosses would want that.
Maybe a kilt or something.
I could do a kilt.
You could go Roddy Piper, bro.
That's a good one,
Just rock a
next
kilt.
Year.
Yeah, dude.
So, WWE.
There it is.
Happy Halloween, pal.
So plenty to talk about on this show. You know, we'll talk a little bit about the trade deadline, which happened earlier in the week, and kind of touch on some of the key names that moved and what that means for them in their new spots, as well for some of the guys in their old spots. We'll do a Week 9 preview. We'll have Eddie's Delirious Picks. We'll also talk to Aditi Kinkabwala, who has a lot of really interesting news about Le'Veon Bell. So if you've got Le'Veon Bell on a team, if you're thinking about making a move for Le'Veon Bell,
gotta listen.
You will want to listen to what Aditi has to say before you make any sort of decisions regarding Le'Veon Bell and your fantasy roster. Plenty to talk about there. But first, let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
All right. Ryan Tannehill has already been ruled out for the Miami Dolphins this week, so it means another week of Brock Osweiler as the starting quarterback as they take on the New York Jetropolitans. I don't know when Tannehill's going to come back at this point. It still may be another week or two. I'm going to ask this question, and maybe we'll hate myself for doing it. The Jets have not been too great. Their secondary's had some injuries. If you're hurting in a week with six quarterbacks,
I like the tone of your voice.
Would you consider Brock Osweiler?
Probably. I would think. I mean, unless you're in a really deep league, that there's got to be better options on the waiver wire. But maybe not. I mean, like, Alex Smith comes to mind. Derek Carr comes to mind. Playing tonight. Nick Mullins. Oh, my goodness. By the way, so I picked up the Raiders defense in like two leagues. I'm starting them. One of the leagues I'm playing in, the AIC league, I'm playing against Mike Inez, the bassist from Alice in Chains, who is a huge Raiders fan. And the only reason I picked up the defense was hoping that they would put up a big number against him because he's such a huge Raiders fan. Back to the Brock Osweiler topic. It's Brock Osweiler.
I mean,
he had a good game against the Bears.
I was going to say, we saw that a few weeks ago, and he lit up the Bears.
I think there's better options out there. I mean, not Nick Mullins, but I mean, there's better options out there.
I would agree, but yeah, who knows anything. Bill Belichick says the running back position is a concern there for New England. Now, Sony Michel has been dealing with some injuries, they think he could be back as soon as this week, but we saw last week when we all thought, hey, maybe we're going to see some Kenyon Barner there with James White. It turned out to be a whole lot of Cordero Patterson, which caught a lot of us by surprise. I think, obviously, as long as Michelle is there, he's starting for you. As long as James White is there, he's starting for you. But I guess this means that any thought of Kenyon Barner being a thing in that backfield is kind of over.
No, I mean, it's like Cordero Patterson. Like, Kenyon Barner was so unattractive to the Belichick as a running back that he played a wide receiver ahead of him.
Like, which is wild.
I mean, that's
just wild.
That game was odd. It started off odd. Like, the Bills were trying these trick plays, trying to catch the Patriots' defense off guard, and Cordero Patterson's playing running back. It was very odd. Now, Kenyon Barner is an absolute blah. I'm done. No, thank you. If you're not good enough to play your position ahead of a dude who's a wide receiver, no, I'm good.
You're out.
I'm out.
All right. So I mentioned the trade deadline, which hit on Tuesday, which obviously we record our other podcast on Monday, so it hadn't happened yet. Three big size, or reasonably big size, fantasy-relevant names got moved. And just like a quick, you know, I think at this point you've probably seen, read, or heard plenty about it, but just a quick little spin about some of these things real quick. Demaryius Thomas going from the Broncos to the Texans. I think for both of us, Thomas gets maybe a slight upgrade. Who is the big name, big winner and or loser in this for you, though?
At Courtland Sutton. I mean, no-brainer, dude. Like, he has shown some flashes. I mean, he led the Broncos in terms of air yards at the wide receiver position up to this point. And it was only a matter of time before he replaced Demaryius Thomas, and I didn't know if it was going to be until next season, but now we know it's right now. I think that's part of the reason why the Broncos made the move, is because they think Sutton could come in and replace DT and be even better than him. And he could end up being a league winner. We'll see. The Broncos, I mean, their offense, Philip Lindsay's been tremendous, but they could be playing some games from behind, and I do think that Sutton is going to be a pretty valuable asset to your fantasy team. I'm not saying he's a wide receiver one, but he could end up being a decent wide receiver two in that offense.
I'm very curious to see what this means for Kiki QT, who really had slid in and found a nice role in the slot and was kind of a nice outlet, an alternative for Deshaun Watson. Does he move to the outside now that Will Fuller is done for the season? How does Demaryius Thomas fit in? That, to me, is going to be very interesting to watch, especially with QT expected to come back this week from an injury. Golden Tate goes from the Detroit Lions to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Tate, a talented guy who I think can fit well in this Eagles offense. My fear is that he and Zach Ertz sort of cannibalize one another because they sort of work in the same areas of the field all the time.
Yeah, it's a downgrade. I don't know that he drops to like wide receiver three value, but when you talk about Golden Tate, I mean, his value is as a pass catcher. I mean, it's a guy who's caught 90 plus balls in what, 2-3 straight seasons. And I do like the upgrade for Detroit in terms of Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones, their value. I think at this point, Nelson Aguilar is probably droppable in most leagues, especially with six teams on a bye, including Philadelphia. So he's gone off of most rosters. But the second that I saw that the deal had been made, any league, and I had one situation where I had both Alshon and Golden Tate, do not want. I don't want both guys now on the same team. So I ended up trading Golden Tate for Chris Carson with money this week. But he's a startable guy. I mean, Tate's still a startable guy. The Eagles are going to throw the ball. They have no running game whatsoever. They're going to throw the ball. But I do think that it's a bit of a downgrade for Golden Tate overall.
I'm curious what happens there. His talent speaks for itself. It's just whether his fit in the offense is going to be good for fantasy. Last one, Ty Montgomery goes from the Green Bay Packers to the Baltimore Ravens. This, I think, for the Packers was less about, you know, trying to make a fit somewhere or upgrade there. They just wanted to get rid of Ty Montgomery after his gaffe last week, trying to run the ball out of the end zone and then fumbling against the Rams. I think the Packers were just done with him and were ready to just move him out to anywhere because they got a conditional 7th-round pick. I mean, that's like basically getting a case of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
But you weren't starting Ty Montgomery in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine you're starting Ty Montgomery.
No, I mean, like, the impact it could have is, you know, Buck Allen and Alex Collins basically have been splitting the opportunities there in Baltimore, and maybe that's just another sort of – it's more of an issue there where one of these two guys will end up losing some touches per game. We'll see. Alex Collins has been a little bit banged up this week, so you have to keep tabs on his status. Maybe Montgomery plays a bigger role if Collins is unable to go this week against the Steelers. But to me, this trade was bigger, much bigger, for my guy, Aaron Jones, who I've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks. Right? I mean, the whole free Aaron Jones
thing is now
out there. And wait a minute. Can I say free Aaron Jones? I may have copied someone who claims to have said it first.
That to me was the best part of Tuesday was...
What, the Twitter issue I had with, what's his name?
No, okay. I don't care about that. what I thought was the moment the Ty Montgomery trade was announced was seeing my timeline just filled with just free Aaron Jones. Because I've said all year long, I have no problem with Aaron Jones. I do think he's the most talented guy running back on that roster, and it would be great to see him get more touches. But I've also been amused at watching fantasy Twitter try to will it into existence, basically try to like focus all of their mental energy on Mike McCarthy into making it happen.
Dude, I've been trying to will it into existence for weeks.
So to watch fantasy Twitter like as a whole basically tweet free Aaron Jones at the same time, that tickled me to know, and that was a whole lot of fun for me. So anyway, that's pretty much everything you need to know.
Well, that was the news.
Yeah, there's no longer any excuse for wearing an ill-fitting suit. Looking at you, Ben McAdoo, because Indochino, North America's leading made-to-measure menswear company, makes high-quality suits and shirts to your exact measurement at a great price. Just visit a showroom and have a stylist take your measurements personally, or measure yourself at home and shop online at Indochino.com. Then choose your fabric and design customizations like your lapel, lining, pockets, buttons, and monogram, and let the compliments roll in. Since November is Black Friday season, you can take advantage of 2018's lowest prices. Get up to 70% off of everything and look great while you take center stage for your biggest moments. Just go to Indochino.com and use the code LIVE at checkout to take advantage of Black Friday pricing. That's 70% off the regular price for a made-to-measure suit. Plus, shipping is free. Go to Indochino.com and use promo code LIVE for up to 70% off. This is an incredible deal for a made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go rack. Joining us on the phone right now, you see her on the NFL Network, always doing great work reporting on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Among other teams, it is Aditi Kinkabwala. Aditi, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes today. And it's a simple question. What is the latest with Le'Veon Bell? I mean, are we going to see him anytime soon? Is there any new updates about him?
You know what's so interesting about this is that there has been such an arc. From the minute that he was tagged, there was a feeling that, okay, no, let me go back. From the minute that they couldn't come to a deal, it was pretty much felt that he would show up the first week of the season, exactly as he had in the past. Then he didn't. Then it was, maybe he's waiting for the bye week. Then it wasn't the bye week. Now it's, maybe it's waiting for the very last day that he can possibly show up, which is November 13th. So the CBA says that if you want to be eligible to play in any one season, you need to arrive by the Tuesday after the 10th week. So that would be Tuesday, November 13th. And now, literally today, I've decided that he really may not ever show up.
So that's the question here.
He might sit the whole entire year.
So that's the question.
Exactly. And I was discussing this today with another writer, with Ed Bouchette, who has covered the Steelers for 30-something years, who's in the Hall of Fame, and he said he wouldn't be surprised if he didn't show either.
So the narrative out there, and correct me because I think you have the correct information here, is that Le'Veon Bell has to come back, because if he doesn't, this is a wasted holdout, because he needs to crew enough games where he's on the roster to become a free agent next season, which is ultimately what this whole thing is about. But that's not correct, right?
You're correct that it's not correct. So that is something that, and this is what's so crazy about this, because so many things have been reported that actually aren't really correct, and that's just because the CBA is that complicated. But that was a narrative, that was a storyline earlier in the year that he needed to be on the active roster for 6 games to accrue a season. He's already accrued enough seasons. He's already got the 5 years, so that's not the issue. He cannot be tagged with the same tag more than once. Or He can't, meaning the second tag. Mm-hmm. So he was already tagged one time last year. Then this year he was tagged a second time. If he doesn't show up, that doesn't mean that he gets the second tag. It means that now he has the third year of the tag. And so there's really the only reason for him to show up this year is to A, make some money, and B, show that, remind everyone that he really is this truly, utterly dynamic, or as his agent said, once in a generation player, because the numbers that James Conner is putting up are certainly laying lie to that a little bit.
So, I mean, let's just play this out. If he doesn't show up this year, then what?
So if he doesn't show up, he is a free agent.
Okay.
Sort of. You still have a few options. The Steelers can transition tag him, which, of course, you know, they put a number on him. And if anybody is to offer him another long-term deal, then the Steelers have to match it. They can do another type of franchise tag, a non-exclusive franchise tag. Now, that number will be extremely high. And then he can still shop himself, look for another deal. But if he gets another deal and the Steelers can still match it, or if they don't match it, they'll get the team that he signs with first and third round pick, I believe.
Wow. I mean,
yesterday was so complicated.
It is.
We went back and forth with this. The desk and I went back with this so many times yesterday. Mm-hmm. I spoke to the best possible resources that I could. And here's the thing. The union and Bell's agent can always argue. So let's just even take the transition tag. If the Steelers are to transition tag him, that number is one of two things. It's either a percentage of what he actually earns this year. So that's not the $14.5 million that he was tagged on. It's whatever he earns when he shows up, or it's whatever the transition tag number is for running backs, which this year was $9.6 million. But that's not really fair, because I was told that if the Steelers try to tag him, his side, his camp, will argue that the tag should be based on what he should have earned this year, not what he actually earned.
Wow.
Okay, so
I'm totally lost, you guys.
No.
We're just listening, because
this whole thing makes my brain itch. Okay, it's like I'm not gonna lie to you about that.
It makes my head hurt. I mean, for as many times as I've read the CBA, and it's funny because I was supposed to go to law school, and after reading the CBA 1,000 times over the last few weeks, I'm just sort of relieved that I never did.
So, okay. So now the fantasy owners know that, yeah, there's a chance Bell might not come back at all this season, and it doesn't necessarily hurt his status for next year. Let's go down the avenue of Le'Veon Bell does come back. He comes back whenever it is, next week, the week after that, okay? James Conner, and you've tweeted out some great stats about James Conner, about how this guy has been just as good, if not better, in a lot of aspects than Le'Veon Bell was last season. So if Bell comes back, do you think he is the same running back that we saw for most of last season, which is elite, which is a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield and is dynamic? Or do we see a guy who hadn't played football for 11 months and is going to end up in a committee situation where he may even lose his starting job to James Conner?
Well, we definitely see a guy who's not in football shape. Remember last year, and Fab, you and I have talked about this mm-hmm. a lot, last year he missed 8 months and it still took him a month to get going. Now at this point, we're already at 11 months that mm-hmm. he's missed. It's just going that you cannot expect it to take any less time for him to be in full-on football shape. And the Steelers aren't obligated to play him. Why? Look at what James Conner is giving them. James Conner has broken more tackles. He's forced more missed tackles than anybody else in the NFL with 50-plus carries. James Conner has 7 runs of at least 20 yards.
He's been phenomenal.
Last year, Le'Veon Bell had only 3. James Conner has 6 touchdowns against an 8-plus man box. Mm-hmm. A stacked box, he has 6 touchdowns. So he's clearly running really strong. He's in great shape. He's younger than Bell. Ben Roethlisberger has been on the record repeatedly saying that he doesn't feel James Conner should be put on the shelf, that he actually prefers playing with James Conner in the no huddle, which he, of course, you know Ben Roethlisberger loves doing. Mm-hmm. So you sort of feel like, what right now is Le'Veon Bell giving you in terms of production that James Conner isn't giving you?
Which I guess sort of begs my question. I mean, what is the motivation for the Steelers to rush him back or welcome him back at all? I mean, are the Steelers even really
insurance.
All that
insurance.
Excited? okay.
insurance. If James Conner does get hurt, if James Conner does get worn down, if whatever, his backup is Stephen Ridley. Wouldn't mm-hmm. you rather have Le'Veon Bell as the guy to get 25 carries a game?
Wow, but I mean,
and
it's amazing that that's where
legs.
We are.
You get to
wow.
January, it's fresh legs.
Yeah, it's amazing that's where we are. That, like, the Steelers consider Le'Veon Bell insurance for James Conner. It's unreal.
What is he giving you? You know, in fact, we talked at the start of the season when mm-hmm. I told you, yes, take James Conner. And
yep.
you're like, I'm not so sure.
Yep. But I listened, though.
And who got rid of him? Did Akbar trade him away?
No, yeah, I got him from Akbar.
For like a handful of magic beans or something, right?
Seriously. No, but I mean, again, what I'm saying here is what is Le'Veon giving you? If James Conner has more breakaway speed, if James Conner breaks more tackles, if James Conner is better in short yardage situations and around the goal line, if Ben Roethlisberger is actually saying that he prefers throwing to James Conner in a no-huddle situation, then, I mean, I would posit you should get both of them on the field and spread Le'Veon out. Make Le'Veon a running back. Put him in the slot.
Wow. This is a whole lot.
He's a great talent. You're not going to keep him on the bench. Le'Veon Bell is a great talent. It's Randy Fickner's job to figure out how to use him, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that suddenly James Conner goes on the shelf and Le'Veon Bell becomes the guy that gets 25 carries a game.
Man. This is a whole lot to process. Aditi,
yeah.
I know, and I don't know that this is the guy that you need to be picking up right now.
No.
Because remember, November 13th is when he has to show up by. There's no guarantees that he's showing up. There's not anybody on his team that has heard from him. Literally, there's not a player or coach who has any idea what his plans are.
That is...
And he's given no indication of his plans.
This whole thing obviously it's unprecedented. I mean, we've never seen anything like this. It is.
Well, no, there was Sean Gilbert. Remember,
yeah.
Sean Gilbert
yep.
did sit out a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a defensive tackle, so it's different. But
right.
I mean, for a guy to miss a whole entire year, to turn his back on $14.5 million while in the prime of his career. Yeah, I mean, Benny fancies himself Kurt Flood.
Now,
he's changing the system.
Now, if I reported to Steelers camp, would you think they'd pay me that much money for the rest of the season or no? Probably not, right?
You might have to pay. You
know,
might have to
really
pay them then.
Yeah, exactly.
The first week he didn't show up, and he said, "I don't want the $855,000." I did say, "Is that up for grabs?"
Yeah.
Aditi, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you at some point in the near future.
Thanks,
okay?
Aditi. Great stuff.
Always my pleasure. Thanks so
Thank
much.
You. But I tell you, so like after that conversation, Marcus, you know, I have Bell. In our Dynasty League, and
right.
I have Conner. I'm not trading Bell, obviously, in there. But I've got Bell. I already traded him in our league. That was weeks ago to Damashek. And I have Bell and Conner in another league. Dude, I mean, I don't know what I'd get for him, but I may end up just throwing Le'Veon Bell on the trade block and see what happens because, I mean, that's eye-opening to me because I didn't realize that if Bell doesn't play, it doesn't necessarily hurt him for next season.
And I think that's the assumption that a lot of us
have
worked on
too.
Because that's what we had been hearing this whole time, was that he had to be there by week 10 in order to accrue the year of service to be a free agent. But with Aditi saying that that's not true, that changes this thing completely. So... Man, as somebody who doesn't have Le'Veon Bell on any teams, I'm sort of amused. I'm sort of sitting back and just kind of watching this as an uninterested spectator. From a fantasy perspective, this will go down as kind of a thing.
Yeah,
to remember.
Dude. I mean, this is worse than the Zeke thing last season because we all knew. We haven't known. We don't know what's going on. I mean, the team doesn't even know. The organization doesn't know. Nobody knows. His teammates don't know.
And that's the difference between this and Zeke last year.
It's worse.
At least with Zeke. You know, we could all kind of check in with whatever legal expert that could kind of tell you how the process works and what the odds were that Zeke could be suspended. And, like, you could get the thought processes of the people involved in the situation. With Le'Veon Bell not saying anything, I mean, there's no insight into the thought process of what he's doing, when he might return, any of that kind of stuff. So that is what makes this way more interesting. So Aditi Kinkabala with a whole lot of really interesting news. G Suite is a suite of cloud-based productivity tools that includes Gmail, Docs, Slides, Sheets, and Drive. These tools improve your work life both in terms of your experience and the outputs you create. Hence their new campaign, Make It with G Suite. You know, when you have 20 identical versions of a document labeled final and no clue which is the latest, so you make another version, you call that one final, final, then you make another one, and it's like final, 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 and so on and so forth. Well, look, with G Suite by Google Cloud, a range of work apps like Gmail, Doc, and Slides lets you make real-time updates to the same document without having to keep track of version after version of a project. And since all the tools are cloud-based, your whole team can access the same document and work on the same page at the same time. To find out more about G Suite's productivity tools, visit gsuite.com. That's gsuite.com. Make it with G Suite by Google Cloud. Thanks again to Aditi Kinkabwala for stepping in and hitting us with some really interesting, interesting information.
That was, I'm putting Le'Veon Bell on the trade block in the league that I have him in, and I guarantee I will get no offers.
Especially not if they listen to this podcast.
Is that insane or what? I mean, it's insane, dude.
If they listen to this podcast, yeah, good luck with any of that. All right, so it's week 9. It is Bipocalypse 1. 6 teams on a bye this week, so that means a lot of key players are not playing for your fantasy football team because they're not playing in the National Football League this week. So we'll go through the rest of them that are playing. We'll start in Buffalo. The Chicago Bears taking on the Buffalo Bills. Mitch Trubisky has been playing really well recently. I mean, he's been one of the top quarterbacks. I think right now coming into this week, he's the QB6, which tells you a lot about how he has played recently. I've been calling this week kind of a heat check against the Bills because the Bills' defense has not been bad. This is sort of like when any non-Steph Curry NBA player is starting to feel it and it pulls up just past half court and like launches a three just to see how hot they really are. This feels like a Mitch Trubisky heat check. Like, can he keep it going against the defense that very quietly has had a very good season this year?
Here's where Trubisky, I still believe, is a stardom. I mean, obviously, six teams off, and the guy's the hottest quarterback in the league. But he's giving you points as a runner. He's rushed for 47 or more yards in each of his last four games. And if he's going to give you that, if he's giving you 40 or 50 rushing yards, I mean, that's 4 or 5 points right off the bat. So you're telling me I can't get another 14 points as a passer from Mitch Trubisky, even against the Bills? Of course I can. Of course. I mean, that's not asking much. So that's where I like him. Do I like the matchup in terms of a passer? I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, the Bills have been tough. I mean, Tom Brady didn't have a touchdown pass against him last week. But, I mean, you also got to consider Joe Flacco had a good game against him. Phillip Rivers had a good game against him. Andrew Luck had a good game against him. So while I wasn't sold after Trubisky's 6-touchdown game against Tampa Bay, I've started to warm up after that one, and now I say this dude is a top 10 quarterback this week.
Wow. All right. Cool. I really don't have anything to say about that. I'm just very curious to watch because I don't have Trubisky anywhere, so I just want to sit back and kind of watch this. The thing about him is that it's hard to actually watch him play. Like, the numbers are fine. The way he gets there.
Listen, buddy, I won a championship with Tim Tebow, and it was not pretty. You want to talk about not pretty to watch.
I mean.
But he got the job done.
It is. It's the thing I've been telling people. If you start Trubisky, don't watch Trubisky because it's just going to make your head.
Watch the stats just compile on your app.
So on the flip side, are there any Bills you're starting? I mean, LeSean McCoy's played better, but against that Bears defense, I mean, are there any Bills you start?
This is one of those weeks where it's really hard to pen start him and sit him because you don't want to give out players who are obviously starts or obviously sits, but you also have to help people. And I've got McCoy as my sit of the week. Nothing is in his favor this week. Nothing. His quarterback is Nathan Peterman, okay? Start the Peterman jokes. Go ahead. The Bears are giving up 3.5 yards a rush. They haven't allowed a touchdown on the ground to a running back all season long. Game script seems to be heavily in favor of the Bills having to throw the ball in the second half, and I get it. McCoy can catch the ball, but he's catching the pass from Nathan Peterman.
They're also not really using him like that.
So, I mean, you probably have to play him. You don't have to like it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably.
I mean, you're not playing Charles Clay. You're not playing Kelvin Benjamin. You're not playing Zay Jones. You're not playing the Bills' defense. You're not playing Steven Hoshkin. Not playing the Bills.
Yep. That's pretty much all I think you know about the Bills.
Easiest analysis we'll ever do it.
Tampa Bay Bucks at the Carolina Panthers. Ryan Fitzpatrick is back. He is the starting quarterback once again for the Buccaneers. Is this good news for a lot of their pass catchers? I mean, especially DeSean Jackson, but even, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Is it good news to have Ryan Fitzpatrick back?
Yeah. I'm so like in between on this one because like at some point, like I guarantee you, Fitzpatrick's going to have a terrible game. He's going to throw three picks. Jameis is going to come in, do well, and he's going to get the starting job back. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. There's no doubt. And the matchup this week is not good. The Panthers have allowed one quarterback to finish better than 13th in points against them this season. They're averaging 15 fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks on their home field. Quarterbacks, when playing in Carolina, have a passer rating of 74.3. The matchup is terrible. The only way Fitzpatrick is going to give you a nice stat line this week is if game script basically calls him to throw the football a lot in the second half. And that is very well in the realm of possibility. But the matchup is not good this week. You're starting Evans. You're starting DeSean Jackson. I think Jackson probably benefits the most because Fitzpatrick likes to go to him. Whereas Jameis Winston, not so much.
Him and Jameis just can't connect.
O.J. Howard, too. I mean, like, Howard has really been tremendous, very underrated. The emergence of Howard and Njoku, I mean, guys like that have sort of helped to lift up the tight end position a little bit because it's been so thin. But Peyton Barber, I mean, I don't know if you're playing him. That's a bad matchup too. But I know everyone's on board with Fitzpatrick. But guys, let's remember this is a journeyman quarterback who's played for half the teams in the league, and he is prone to turnovers just like Jameis Winston is. Why do you think everyone's starting the Panthers defense this week?
That's the thing. I don't know that I necessarily like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I just feel like he can at least make everybody else around him. Even if you're not starting him, that maybe you can start D-Jax and Chris Godwin and those guys.
Certainly. And Howard, certainly.
Okay, so then on the flip side, Ryan Fitzpatrick is back. He's the starting quarterback again for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after having been benched and coming back now. Is that good news for the Carolina Panthers defense?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. See, Marcus, I'm reading your mind. I'm answering the question before it's asked. Yeah, I mean, the Panthers, I have them in my top five this week.
Anything else there? I mean, I feel like with the Panthers, you're kind of starting all their skill positions.
What about Peyton Barber, though? Like, honestly, like, would you start him? Six teams on a bye, coming off a big game.
No.
Two of his last three games, he's been good. No.
I get it. Like, he's put up some good numbers the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I can't trust him. I don't trust him. I don't believe. And, you know, maybe to my detriment. And, like, look, if he goes off, then so be it. I'll live with that. I would feel better with him going off on my bench than putting him in my lineup and watching him give me like 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And for Carolina, you know, I mean, dude, I mean, you're starting CMC, you're starting Funchess, you're starting Olsen, who had a good game last week and
yep.
a great matchup. And then, I mean, DJ Moore's on the radar. I mean, like, he doesn't lead the Panthers in terms of routes run out of the slot, but he's got right around 43% of those. So,
yep.
And we talk about it every single week, and everyone who's listening knows the Panthers stink against slot receivers. So I think Moore is certainly worth a roll of the dice this week.
All right. Kansas City Chiefs at the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, you know, we know what's up with the Chiefs offense. Not to worry about them. But is the Chiefs defense, like, actually officially a thing now with the way they've played the last few
years? Yeah, which is crazy because how bad they were in the beginning.
We were picking
season.
On them so badly at the start.
Yeah, I am actually streaming them in at least one league this week, and if you look at the numbers that this defense has been putting up from a fantasy standpoint, you know, you're looking at 9 last week, 14 the week before, and, you know, they had nothing in New England because New England, and the week before they had 22 against the Jags. So this is one of the more productive defenses in fantasy football since week 5, and I think this could be a high-scoring game against the Browns. I mean, maybe neither one of these defenses shows up in terms of stopping the opponent, but that doesn't mean that the Chiefs are a bad start in fantasy because what are you looking for? You're looking for turnovers.
Yep.
You're looking for sacks. You're looking for turnovers that become touchdowns, and I think that could happen in this game for Kansas City.
How many Browns do you trust this week? I mean, Nick Chubb, maybe?
No, I like,
but
I like Chubb this week.
But he might get game scripted out is my favorite.
Right, no. I play him. I have him as an RB2. Jarvis, boy. I mean, you know, he was one of my bust candidates coming into the season, and he started off on fire. I'm like, boy, was I wrong about that. But no, I mean, in PPR, he's still been good, you know, with his 8 catches for 33 yards or whatever the stat line was. But, I mean, you have to be concerned about him because you knew he wasn't scoring 9 touchdowns like he did last season. And now you're in a spot where he's been very unreliable. I mean, you're going to play him. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And it could be a high-scoring game. So I still have him in my top 20 wide receivers for the week. But in terms of confidence, I mean, I don't have as much confidence in Jarvis as I did last season at this time. Let's put it that way.
The other part of it is that we really don't have any idea of what the offense is going to look like now, right?
Yeah,
Freddie
right.
Kitchens, the former running backs coach, has been promoted to offensive coordinator. Ryan Lindley, the former Cardinals quarterback, is now the running backs coach. Greg Williams, who was the defensive coordinator this time last week, is now the interim head coach. There's just no clarity as to what this team is going to look like. So this is a week I just would step back and just take a look. Unless, you know, you have, I get it. If you got to start Nick Chubb or David Njoku or whatever, Jarvis Landry, I get it. You know, go for it and do it and hope for the best. If you can afford to take a step back and look, that's kind of what I
see. For me, I don't think the offense is going to change that much because he was kind of a Haley disciple. So things aren't, you know, maybe he, you know, he puts in a few different looks here and there. I mean, obviously he's going to want to sort of, you know, put his stamp on the offense. But, I mean, overall, I know that it's going to change a ton, especially in the first game.
All right. Jets at Dolphins. Do we believe in Chris Herndon yet?
Three touchdowns in a row.
Three games.
And, I mean, like, yep. He didn't do anything but score. But, see, this is why the fantasy gods are cruel, Marcus, because once we jump on a bandwagon.
Then it goes away.
The wheels come off.
Yep.
I actually have to play him this week because I have, you know, tight ends on a bye, so I'm hoping for that end zone visit again. So I do think he's a streamable option. And the Jets, do they have any wide receivers left? I mean, like, Matthews was...
Kirst technically is still there.
I know,
right?
But they don't have nothing. That's another reason why, you know, he's not getting a ton of targets, but when he's getting the targets, you know, they're in the red zone. So that's advantageous.
I mean, you know, I'm like looking at Robbie Anderson still missing practice.
Yeah,
like,
Quincy Anun was banged up. Terrell Pryor's not on the roster anymore. He's on the Bills now.
Yeah. Not only is he on the Bills, we didn't even talk about this. Like, there was talk that he might could start at quarterback this week.
Oh.
It was not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, my goodness.
Sean McDermott didn't say yes, but he also didn't say no.
Can I tell you this right now? Eddie, I would – if I had to choose between Terrell Pryor and Nathan Peterman as my starting quarterback in Fanny this week, I would obviously go – I would absolutely positively go with TP. Over Peterman, and he's not a quarterback.
Hey, Peterman.
I'd absolutely go with him. Not even a question.
I mean, you know, he was once upon a time a quarterback.
At
the Ohio State University.
And with the Raiders.
He was, by the way, he was the last full-time starting quarterback before Derek Carr.
Oh, how about that? Interesting. See, and I remember there was a couple of games, and one game in particular, I believe probably rushed for 100 yards in a game, and he had a huge fantasy stat line, and I was like, wow, yeah. Not a good quarterback in reality, but in fantasy, he's going to give me 80 yards rushing every game. I'll start him.
All right. Do we believe in Devontae Parker yet?
I mean, I do. I always liked him. I always liked the talent coming out of Louisville.
I mean, we all did. We've been hyping the breakout for years.
So I don't know what happened. You know, like, because, like, there was, like, this whole rumor that Adam Gase and him were kind of like, you know, they're having slap fights. Oh, I don't know. You know, there's problems. Maybe they kissed and made up. I don't know. Maybe after this game, Gase is like, I mean, pretty good. Maybe I got to play him. All my wide receivers are hurt. So Jets defense, not good against wide receivers. We'll see. I mean, I don't know what the status of Tremaine Johnson is. We'll see if he's back. He's been out a while. So, but as a flex starter, I mean, Brock Osweiler seemed to have a little bit of an eye for him. Danny Amendola's another guy, too, that you can play in PPR this week.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Parker this week as, like, a flex option, kind of a sleeper play. Again, we talk about the Jets, and their secondary has been beat up a little bit. They've been missing some key pieces. On Thursday, Tremaine Johnson was a limited participant in practice, didn't practice on Wednesday. Morris Claiborne is actually back. He had missed some time, but he looks like he's going to be back, so that helps that secondary a little bit. But it's still not at 100%, so that's something to keep an eye on when you talk about your Jets and or your Dolphins. Steelers at Ravens. You know, we just talked to Aditi Kinkabwala about the Steelers, and she talked about how good James Conner has been, as though we didn't know that already. I mean, we can just watch and see that. But she kind of put some context into how good he has been. But the Ravens have been very good defensively so far this season. You are starting James Conner, I think, without a doubt. But are you excited about starting James Conner?
I mean, it's the worst matchup possible. And the last time he played the Ravens, he had 19 yards rushing. So, listen, man, if you're in a must-win situation and James Conner's your back this week, you're a little nervous. You're a little nervous because you're expecting and hoping to get, you know, 20 points, 25 points, maybe more in PPR. But this week, I mean, you could be looking at a ceiling of 18. Maybe. It's a tough matchup. The Ravens defense is no joke, and you know, they're at home, and they're extremely tough at home, and you know, I believe last week they got embarrassed by Cameron Jurrell.
Yep.
So there could be a little chip on their shoulder.
Would you start Joe Flacco this week against the Steelers?
Yeah, man, if I need a quarterback, I absolutely would. Steelers, you know, what's their Achilles heel? Stopping the pass.
Yeah, their secondary is not that great.
They haven't been doing it. You know, Flacco gave you 22 earlier this season in Pittsburgh. So I absolutely would do that. No question.
The Lions head to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. We talked about Golden Tate. He's no longer there, so that slot role is sort of unoccupied at the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's talk that maybe T.J. Jones fills it. But my question is this the dawn of Theo Riddick? Does it finally is this finally when Theo Riddick takes that big step forward into the spotlight? All right, then there you go.
Well, I mean, like, he hadn't played. you know, he's been limited in practice this week, so I would say if he's active and you're absolutely positively desperate for a flex starter in a PPR league, then maybe you go out and pick him up. But I don't know. Kerryon Johnson, I mean, he didn't have great rushing totals last week, but he caught a whole bunch of balls out of the backfield. And to me, that's just reconfirming what I've already known, is that Kerryon Johnson can be a featured back in the National Football League, and I hope Matt Patricia utilizes him as so.
You know, I tried to put in a word for everybody with Matt Patricia yesterday, or at least he looked like Matt Patricia. He was hanging around at our holiday, our network costume party.
Oh, nice.
So I tried to, like, sort of like a surrogate, you know, like those fake Santas at the mall that are surrogates to send the messages on. I tried to use this guy as a surrogate to get it to Matt Patricia that we wanted more touches for Kerryon Johnson. Will Kyle Rudolph show up this week? He's been absent most of the year. And I know that says, you know, a lot about tight ends, but he's really been absent this year.
Very much so. And you weren't really expecting that, right?
I mean,
Kirk Cousins coming from Washington, you know, when Jordan Reed was actually on the field, I mean, he did well, Vernon Davis. But yeah, he is now to be fair, he's gotten some opportunities in the red zone and more particularly in the end zone. Either he's been overthrown or, you know, uncatchable pass. It hasn't happened for him. So, you know, it's not like they've completely abandoned him as a red zone option. But Rudolph, and this kind of used to be the way he was, and now he's sort of morphing back into that. If he doesn't score a touchdown for you,
there's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
Nothing there. Right, and the part is, like, he's a distant third in targets, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's Thielen and it's Diggs who are, you know, easily the two options in the passing game, top two options in the passing game. Kyle Rudolph's targets are way down behind them, and it just makes it hard to count on him on a weekly basis. Falcons going to Washington. That has been a good run defense. Do you start Tevin Coleman this week?
I have him as a flex. He's outside of my top 20 running backs because the matchup, like you said, is tough. But, I mean, volume is going to be there. At least you would think so for Tevin Coleman. So because the volume is there, I'm hoping that maybe he gives me 5 catches. Maybe he sneaks into the end zone. Even if he doesn't, I get maybe 12 points from him. But I'm tempering expectations, no doubt about that. Now, you and I, and, you know, we can have some fun with this, we totally disagree on Matt Ryan this week. And I don't think Matt Ryan's going to have a big game.
And I know you think that because mostly because he's on the road.
Well, no, it's not only that, but I feel like the Redskins defense is tough at home. Like it's not even about, like, no matter where Ryan is playing. If he was playing on the road against the Bucks, I'd be like, dude, start him. But, like, Aaron Rodgers went into FedEx and was held to under 20 points. Andrew Luck went into FedEx and was held to, I believe, under 13 points. Now Dak had a good game against him,
right?
But most of Dak's production there, a good chunk of it came as a runner, right? And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe, did they play Cam also? I'm going to have to
check
on that.
They played Cam at home.
And Cam had a big game, but he also had a lot of points as a runner.
Right, but he also threw 2 touchdowns and had 275 in the air. I mean,
I think, to me, I feel like, and Matt Ryan is leading that offense to 14 points a game on the road. They've only played 2 road games. That's nuts.
Right. But
played 2 road games.
They're also coming off a bye this week, too.
So I get
that
it.
That means Steve Sarkisian, who's done a very good job this year, has had an extra week to sort of work something up for this game this week.
Listen, man, I mean, if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong, but I would not be surprised if Matt Ryan, you know, is under 16 points this week. I really would not be surprised if that is a lower scoring game than you would sort of think.
By the way, just a quick update. This is going to blow your mind.
Oh, no.
Matt Breida is playing. anyway.
You know, I want to say a few things about Matt Breida.
Please don't.
Okay.
Would you start any of the Washington pass catchers? Would you start Alex Smith against the Falcons? Would you start, you know, I don't even know who's healthy. Paul Richardson. I mean, whoever is healthy, Josh Doxon. Would you, Jordan Reed? Would you start any of those guys? Because the matchup is great, but they haven't done anything.
Probably Reed, yeah, right? I mean, Reed is a guy that I would play. You know, the numbers haven't been great. You know, maybe the targets are up a little bit, but, boy, I mean, you know, whoever's healthy at wide receiver on that team is just
it's just been so uninspiring. I mean, it's just it's amazing.
You know, man, like if Jameson Crowder was like 100%, you know, in a PPR league, maybe I'm rolling the dice with him. But this team, and I tell you, I was dead wrong about Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
I thought
yep.
he would be hurt by now.
I think a lot of us were wrong.
I thought, and you don't wish injuries on anyone, but you just, you know, 32-year-old dude who's got a lot of tread on the tires. And, you know, that touchdown run he had against the Giants last week, I mean, that almost looked like at the end, like it was slow motion.
Oh, he was chugging.
It was in slow motion.
He was
but
chugging
at
the end.
And that offense is now, and it's weird because Jay Gruden, you know, loves to throw the football, right? Mm-hmm. Loves to throw the football. He said so many good quarterbacks in terms of fantasy production. Even Andy Dalton was a top five quarterback when Gruden was the OC in Cincinnati. But this is a run-based offense now. The Redskins are going ground and pound. They're playing good defense. And they're running Adrian Peterson. And Peterson's success has basically neutered Chris Thompson. I mean, Chris
yep.
Thompson now, he goes from a guy that I was really excited to draft to, damn, do I even play him now?
I know. He and Deion Lewis have kind of turned out to sort of be the same frustration in a lot of ways this year. And that hurts. Because I liked both of them this year, and it just didn't happen. My thing with Peterson is that, you know, I didn't know so much if he was going to get hurt. I just didn't think that they would find a way to get him as many touches. I figured he would, you know, they would get him 12 to 15, and he would be okay, but that wouldn't be enough to get anything going. Instead, they have kept him around 20 touches pretty much every week, and he's been great with it. So that,
you know,
what I was thinking, though?
Hmm. Imagine if this was Geis. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know,
it's
funny.
If Geis was running behind this offensive line the way this offense is playing, oh.
And I think if the funny part is, if Geis was there, then I don't think we would have the frustration with Chris Thompson. I think we just would have assumed that Chris Thompson wouldn't have been as much of a thing this year.
Yes,
because, you know, Darius Geis would have handled a lot of the pass-catching duties as well. So, yeah. You know, that just quite hasn't worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Texans at Broncos. Which Deshaun Watson will we see? I mean, the Broncos have been awful against the run. They've been okay against the pass. Which Deshaun Watson do you think shows up this week?
It's not going to be the 5-touchdown Deshaun Watson, at least I would think not. I mean,
but even that Deshaun Watson didn't have a ton of yards. He had those 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, 239.
The yardage was just okay.
And the previous 2 weeks, I mean, he was bad. I mean, you know, he gave you, what, 10, and then there was a game, was it Buffalo, I think it was? I mean, he was terrible at, like, 5 points. But I expect good Deshaun Watson. I think this could end up being a pretty decently high-scoring game. I'm not expecting 30. I'm expecting 18 to 22, somewhere in that range.
All right. Do you still trust the Broncos' defense?
Oh. So
they're such a sort of middle-of-the-road defense. They're not great. They're not terrible. They're just kind of there.
Yeah. You know, I get it. And, you know, Watson is prone to turnovers. So, I mean, the Broncos, I guess, could be a top 10 defense this week. But, and they're at home, so that's going to help. But ever since they went to the Meadowlands, when I loved them, and Sam Darnold tore them apart, and it was just awful. And, you know, they had that huge game against the Cardinals, which, you know, now we know, hey, you got to start your defenses against Josh Rosen, too. But ever since then, I haven't really trusted the Broncos defense, so I don't really trust them this week either. But the matchup isn't necessarily bad. And the big storyline here is the immediate revenge game of Demaryius Thomas.
Right.
Now, I'll throw this one to you. Demaryius Thomas, startable this week with 6 teams on a bye. I get it. Say there's no byes. Say that, you know, this is just a week where, you know, everyone's out there on the gridiron. Would you be playing Demaryius Thomas just because of the revenge narrative?
I mean, if I were playing him, one, it'd be as a flex, and two, it would be because, not so much the revenge narrative, but as in, like, he knows what they're going to do. I mean, he literally knows all of their tendencies, and, like, I don't know, maybe they try to change their term, but, you know, you can't change all of your terminology in a week just because of one guy on the other side. So, you know, look, we saw it in Hard Knocks when Michael Kendricks, you know, stood in front of the room and he told the Browns everything he knew about the Eagles and gave them a detailed scouting report. You can bet that the same thing happened this week with Demaryius Thomas, where he stood in front of the room, in front of the meeting room, and he laid out everything the Broncos do, who's, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of each guy and this and that. You can guarantee that happened.
It's kind of the reason why I like
– that's the reason I would start. That's the reason that I would start Demaryius Thomas this week. But it would, even then, it would just be as a flex at best. Rams at Saints, which has the makings of maybe the game of the week. That or maybe the Packers-Patriots, which we'll get to. But Rams at Saints – Same question for both. I mean, anybody on either side of this game that you would consider sitting this week?
The defenses.
Okay, so them.
That's it. Goff's a good play. Cooper Kupp.
He's supposed to be back this week.
Yep. Woods, Cooks. Gurley. I don't have to mention that dude. I'm not starting the tight ends. I'm not starting Josh Reynolds. New Orleans side of the ball. I think Ben Watson is a streamable option because the tight end position is so thin and you have six teams on a bye. Michael Thomas, hopefully, I mean, he hadn't been tremendous.
He's not been great the last few weeks.
Over his last few games. He had that one decent game. I would expect the big things from him. I would expect Mark Ingram to bounce back this week and give you a better stat line, although I'm very interested to see in terms of what the snap share is and the touch share is between him and Alvin Kamara, because Kamara was clearly more involved last week, no question about that. So, I don't know. I mean, Tre'Quan Smith, deep league's kind of sleeper in what could be a high-scoring affair. So, I do think Breeze has a big game this week. I'm selling high on him. I mean, and I've talked about it on NFL Fantasy Live, but, you know, obviously he's a good play in what should be a high-scoring game. But I do think that at some point, and we've already started to see it, I mean, he had a stinker last week. The week before, he was average at best. That Breeze's numbers is going to be far less consistent than they were before Ingram came back.
Packers at Patriots, as I mentioned, another one of the marquee games of the week. Who is the number two receiver behind Devontae Adams? Is it Geronimo Allison? Is it Randall Cobb? I mean, I don't know that it's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I mean, who would you consider to be their wide receiver two right now?
I don't really have... From a fantasy perspective, I don't know that there is one, right? I mean, if you look at MVS's fantasy points per touch, he's pretty high.
Right.
He gets the ball, he's productive, but there's so many mouths to feed there. I mean, and you know, I liked Geronimo Allison last week. He didn't do anything. But this is going to be a high-scoring game. I guess if I had to pick one out of the three, including Randall Cobb, I'd probably end up going with Valdez-Scantling, but it's like a dart throw. I mean, it's an absolute... I'm hoping this game Jimmy Graham gets into the dang end zone. Because
please, you and me
that
both.
Guy has disappeared. I mean, you know, I get it. He was down at the one. He would have had a touchdown, and maybe we're not talking about that.
But he didn't catch any other passes after.
No.
That was it.
And everyone, including myself, thought this guy's going to be good for eight touchdowns, you know, this season, and it just hasn't happened. But you've got the battle of, like, two of the best tight ends in fantasy football, you know, over the last decade or so, and Gronkowski and Graham should be interesting.
How do we feel about Josh Gordon? There's obviously a lot of hype around him this season, and then when he got traded to the Patriots, you know, I had my little meltdown here on this show, and we thought maybe big things were going to happen. It really hasn't. I mean, he's been mediocre at best so far in New England. This, as we said earlier, this seems like a game where he can break out. No ha-ha Clinton Dix. He was traded to Washington. Yep. How are we feeling about Josh Gordon right now?
I like him this week. I really do. I think this is one of those games where Gordon can get right. And, you know, he had that one big game when Gronk wasn't out. And then last week, you had the whole report about, you know, he was going to be suspended for the first quarter, and that didn't happen. He ended up playing a full complement. And he had that one drop from Brady that looked like, I don't know if he lost it in the light
Was. It was really weird.
I mean, it clearly would have helped his stat line because it wasn't all that impressive. But, you know, I think that this is a week to start Josh Gordon. The Colts have given up, I believe, 9 touchdowns to wide receivers who are lined out wide. So that's a positive matchup. Could be a high-scoring game. As you mentioned, Ha-Ha is bye-bye. So he's a play for me. Gordon's a play for me.
Game I accidentally skipped over. Chargers at Seahawks. Chargers going up to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Phillip Rivers in the midst of one of the best seasons of his career. But should you be worried about him this week against a Seahawks defense that's been pretty good?
I'm a little worried. Yeah, the Seahawks are tough, man. And I get it. There's no more Legion of Boom, obviously. But you look at the numbers. I mean, they've given up fewer than 12 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks on their home field. And overall, they're giving up 13. So that ain't much. Chargers coming off a bye. Melvin Gordon back. I would not expect Rivers to give you a monster stat line. I'd say his ceiling this week is probably around 18.
Hmm. I mean, depending on where you're getting, you know, what you're getting from other places, maybe you can live with an 18. It's weird because we're in an age where 18 fantasy points from a quarterback.
It's not all that great. It's kind of like, it's okay.
You know, it used to be like, hey, that's not a bad week. Now it's like,
right. Before it was like, if you got 15 or 16, you're like, okay, that's all right.
Yeah, if you get 15 or 16, like you're pretty
screwed. Now it's like, dude, that stinks.
That's terrible.
So, I mean, but as a ceiling of 18, I mean, his floor, I think, could be pretty low this week. That defense is pretty tough also coming off. By the Seahawks are a very talented team.
All right, so where are you putting then Russell Wilson this week? Because he's playing better. He's super efficient. He's not throwing the ball a lot, but he's getting a lot done with a little bit of opportunity. How are you feeling? Where are you putting him this week?
I got him in my top 10, but you have to worry about the fact that he's completing 14 passes a game.
Right.
I mean, but like two or three are touchdowns. So can he keep that up? I mean, that's the question. Mm. And everything this season has really sort of pointed towards a Russell regression, and we have seen it, but the last three games he's been pretty good from a fantasy perspective. But can he keep up that ridiculous percentage of touchdown passes to completions? We'll see.
Right.
Because he's not running the ball.
And weird to me.
And we say it every week now. I mean, that's what's killing him. From a fantasy standpoint, you're not getting 40, 50 yards rushing every game. You're getting nothing. I mean, right now, I mean, he's on pace for fewer than 200 rushing yards, I believe.
That's just wild.
It's not good. So, I mean, I'd still play him. Russell's always been a second-half guy, too. And I didn't like the matchup last week, but he still performed pretty well. So, he's in my top 10, but he's towards the end of the top 10.
All right. And then last game of the week, the Tennessee Titans head down to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Who, if anyone, do you trust in this Titans offense right now?
Trust no one. start? I mean, Deion Lewis is probably the only dude, and that's just because of his pass-catching chops. That's it. That's it, man. I mean, you know, he's had, you know, three games all year where he's helped us. That's it.
Did we overestimate Corey Davis, or is he being held back by an offense that just can't get right?
I mean,
I don't think we expected Corey Davis to be like a wide receiver
15
one.
15 points a game. That's it.
That's it.
And everyone was so excited about the offense with LaFleur coming in, and they're going to be dynamic. And I mean, it hasn't really happened. If you think about it, I mean, they lose to Delanie Walker, so that was a big loss.
Right.
Veteran presence, a guy who's going to catch, you know, 60, 70 balls. And you know, Mariota's, you know, he got banged up. He's been inconsistent. Derrick Henry, who I really thought would be a good flex starter this season. I mean, he has gone completely off the cliff. I get it. He scored a touchdown in the game there before the bye week. But, I mean, if he doesn't get into the end zone right now, then he's not useful at all. And the Cowboys, I think they've given up one touchdown on the ground to running backs this season on their home field. So, Deion Lewis is the only dude, and I don't know that I would trust him. I think he's a flex starter. But it's the only dude on that offense that I would start. I mean, the Cowboys' defense, it's good. It's a very good defense. It's a very underrated defense. It's a young and up-and-coming defense. And they're particularly good at home. Two of their best fantasy performances, actually two of their best fantasy performances, have come at home this season. Both of them, you know, they had a big game against the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. I like the Cowboys' defense. I'm streaming them in a couple of leagues, and there's nothing to do with my fan allegiance at all. I just like them this week as a defense. Well, I think they're going to hold the Titans to fewer than, you know, they're probably maybe 14 points max, and the Cowboys are going to get some turnovers. They're going to put Mariota in a position where, you know, he's going to be under pressure. So I do like this matchup for the Cowboys D.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans offense has just been so inept. They can't move it. They can't score points.
Yep.
There's nothing that's fearsome about it.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about some trades. We talked about Amari Cooper last week, but now he's finally making his debut with the Cowboys. What are your expectations for him against a Titans secondary that's actually been pretty good this year?
Yeah, I mean, in my heart as a Cowboys fan, I'm hoping for big things. When I found out they traded him for a first-round pick, I was not happy. I may have thrown out a few four-letter words, in fact. But I don't like the matchup, like you said. I mean, the Tennessee Titans, they're giving up the seventh fewest points to wide receivers on the road this year. And he's going to a team that is throwing the ball, what? I think it's their 30th, maybe 29th in terms of pass attempts.
Mm-hmm.
They don't throw the ball that much. It's Zeke, you know? And, like, Dak's success in the fantasy stat sheets the last couple of games has become, it's come predominantly because, I mean, he's running the ball, which I'd love to continue to see. But I'm sort of sitting back and waiting to see what Cooper can do. I hope he can be a number one wide receiver for this team. I don't expect it, though. And from a fantasy standpoint, I say he's a three. That's what he was in Oakland, and that's what he's going to be in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a run-heavy offense. This is still Ezekiel Elliott's offense, and that makes it hard to trust Amari Cooper or to expect that he's going to get a whole lot of opportunity. So there you go. That's our Week 9 preview. It brings us to one of our favorite times of the week. It is time for Eddie's Delirious Pick. All right, so what you got this week for us?
All right, so obviously now we're midway through the season. NFL trading deadline just passed. Thought I should make a pick based off of that. So I was looking at the receivers. Obviously, Demaryius Thomas traded, Golden Tate, Amari Cooper. Josh Gordon, we can't forget, was traded earlier this year. And if you want to throw in Ty Montgomery as well, he plays kind of a hybrid role. But my prediction, or my delirious pick rather, is through the rest of the season, Demaryius Thomas will be the best overall in terms of fantasy stats out of all those receivers in that list.
Wow,
so over Golden Tate.
I like him way more than Golden Tate. Pains me to say this, but I think, and Fabs will be happy, I think Amari Cooper actually will have the closest to Demaryius Thomas. But I think, Demaryius Thomas has been the most consistent receiver in the league, really, and he's been playing with in the last couple of years with Trevor Siemian and like his, guys that
his quarterbacks have not been good.
Anyone in this room could probably play better in Denver than the quarterbacks they've had. And I think now with Deshaun Watson, you see how Watson's kind of shaking the rust off. He's getting healthier. I mean, he had a 5-touchdown performance. They're leading the division now. Like, the Texans look like they're really on a roll. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins will get more of the defensive focus taken away from which will help out Demaryius Thomas. So I just think that Demaryius Thomas will see a lot more targets. We all know that Will Fuller was great for Deshaun Watson. So I think he needs a guy like that. That's when Nuke Hopkins is obviously double teamed, triple teamed to find somebody open. I think it's a great fresh start for a guy like DT to come and play with a legitimate quarterback. So I think he'll have if anyone that owns him in fantasy will have a great guy the rest of the way.
All right. Wow. I would. Okay, so I have to ask, though, are you going against Golden Tate because he's an Eagle now? Is this, like, your giant?
It's not even that, because, like I said, I think that Cooper will actually be great. They almost have too many mouths to feed, in a sense. Like, there is Ertz, and they do have Aguilar, and they do have Alshon Jeffrey. So I'm just not sure, I think it's a great move for them. Obviously, being Golden, and I love Golden Tate as a Notre Dame fan, and I think in terms of the deep ball, he's awesome. But I could just see Demaryius Thomas every game, 5, 6, 7 catches, kind of near triple digits in yards and a touchdown. Nuke Hopkins will get his, but I just think that we just forget how good he has been throughout his whole career. Like I said, consistency, always really until the Paxton Lynch, Siemian, Case Keenum years. And I think now playing with a mobile guy like Deshaun Watson, it's just going to do wonders for him. So I think I would put DT1, Cooper, a little bit behind him, because I do think it was a good move for the second half of the year.
Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, if any of us here were playing quarterback, DT would probably have better stats.
You know what I think of when I think of Paxton Lynch is the fact that Jerry Jones wanted to trade up in that draft to get him and was usurped, and then the Cowboys ended up getting Dak in the fourth. Sometimes it's those trades that you don't make.
Sometimes the best trades
both
are the
in reality and fantasy.
Yep. Sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make. All right, before we go, we dip into the mailbag. We got some tweets there.
Yes, thank you to everyone who tweeted at the NFL podcast handle. Don't forget to also tweet at myself, or you got Fabs and Marcus here. So we'll start with @it_SJs, two wide receiver in a PPR league. It's either Traquan Smith versus the Rams, David Moore versus the Chargers, or Corey Davis versus the Cowboys. So which two would you take?
Not Corey Davis.
Man, that's tough. I mean, I think
I think I'm just done with Corey Davis.
I mean, I'd probably have to go with Corey Davis, and then my number two would be David Moore.
Okay.
All right.
But, that is an uninspiring trio, and I'm sorry to that fantasy owner who has to make that decision, because it's a tough one.
Well, what I've noticed, a lot of these bye weeks, they really hurt.
The bye weeks hurt a lot.
They're brutal.
They hurt a lot.
@BallerIPL, they have two different positional needs here. Tariq Cohen, Chubb, and Howard at running back, or and also Keenan Allen or Cooper Kupp.
So like Tariq Cohen.
They need two running backs?
It's just one running back, one receiver.
Oh, well.
And it's just two different positions.
Tariq has been hot.
Yeah, I'd stay with Tariq
him in there. Yeah. And then what was the other one?
Keenan Allen and Cooper Kupp.
You have to start one of them?
Yeah.
You can't start two?
No, seriously. Like,
with six teams on a bye?
I'm curious who he has on the roster that he has to start. I might go Cooper Kupp, actually.
Marcus is really.
I know, like, this is like
having,
this.
He's having a hard
this,
time.
This makes
over
me
there.
Sad. I might go with Cooper Kupp because I think that's going to be a much more high scoring game.
Sure.
And as much as I love Keenan Allen, I mean, he's not getting red zone targets this year.
It's the name versus the guy that it's like if you don't play Cooper Kupp, he'll have 100 yards and a touchdown. You're
right.
Like, man.
I think the concern with Cooper Kupp is that, you know, is he coming back too soon?
Is he healthy?
Right. So I hope he is. I'm playing him.
H-Rod asks us, is Cortland Sutton better to have right now going forward than DJ Moore?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, because, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be the number one option in Denver, but I mean, Sutton is the number two.
Yeah.
Without question. Whereas in Carolina, you've got Funchess, you've got Olsen, and you've got CMC out of the backfield. So I think it's going to be much easier for Sutton to get regular targets than it will be for Moore.
Yep.
And we could end it up here. Obviously, after the Ty Montgomery trade, Scott Whelan asks us, when will we finally see #FreeAaronJones?
I hope now.
Maybe this week. Who knows?
I hope now.
My fear with this, and I don't, you know, again, I laughed at the whole free Aaron Jones thing, that Ty Montgomery was only getting like two or three carries a game, and Aaron Jones isn't a huge part of the passing game. He doesn't get a lot of targets. So I just have this sneaking suspicion that this is going to open up more for Jamal Williams than it will for Aaron
Jones.
Would
you not put that out there?
I'm just saying.
Don't put it out there, Marcus.
I'm just calling it like I see it.
I bought into this as well, too. I'm starting Aaron Jones this week.
I am, too.
And I'm like, okay, well, Montgomery's gone. Marcus is totally right. It's definitely Williams is more of the fact. If they traded Williams, I'd be way more happy. But I'm
if they trade Jamal Williams,
that's the thing.
If they trade Jamal Williams, it's all about free Aaron Jones.
I mean, Mike McCarthy wants to win games, right? I mean, you want to score points. That's the whole point of, you know, the NFL is score more points than the opponent. You play to win the game, right?
He's
as Herman Edwards once said, the dude is so much talented than any other running back on that roster.
Without a doubt, yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe Mike McCarthy just hates our fantasy team.
I mean, that's always a possibility. That's something we got to keep in
mind.
Could be.
Actually, but you know what? I was in St. Louis a couple of years ago at a Cardinals game, and I was down in the clubhouse with Adam Wainwright, my pal, and Jordy Nelson was there, and Aaron Rodgers was there, and McCarthy was there. And I talked to McCarthy for like a good 10, 15 minutes about fantasy football, and his kids play it.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
I mean, so maybe what we need to do is figure out on social media how we can contact one of Mike's kids and tell them to acquire Aaron Jones in a trade, because maybe they can get in his ear and say, hey, Dad, you know, I'm starting that Aaron Jones guy. I think you can maybe get him, you know, maybe like four or five more touches per game than you have been, because I'd really, really, really be good for him. Dad, come on. Maybe we got to do that. Maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah, good luck with that. Let me know how that works out for you.
Well, I mean, you go on the Google, man. You figure it out.
Thanks to all of you guys who tweeted in. Thanks to everybody who downloads the podcast. We certainly appreciate you listening. Thanks again to Aditi Kinkabwala for jumping in
with some
really great information. And that'll do it for this edition of the podcast. Always remember, there's no point in having your cake if you can't eat it, too. We'll see you on Monday.